All right, so I'm sitting here with a double-vented, two-buttoned, beautiful suit there, neatly trimmed at the cuffs and at the ankles. And I would check the label, but David Mills is in the way. He's sitting in this rather nice suit, which plays a bit of a part in the final of his stand-up here.
It's all about the suit. It is all about the suit. You know, the thing about a suit is it just has to fit, doesn't it? You can buy a suit fairly inexpensively. I'm not saying a cheap suit. You don't want a cheap suit, but you can buy a suit, you know, in the middle range, then take it to a tailor and get it fitted so that it actually fits you. And that's what I do with my suits, and that way, you know, a fitted suit hides a multitude of sins. And, you know, I swear my whole career has been built around my suit, or suits, you know.
All right, so thank you very much for talking with Women's Weekly.
What are you talking about? Menswear Weekly.
All right. I mean, clearly, I am in no way as good as thinking off the cuff as you are. Is that a natural gift, or are there toxins running around your system?
You know, I grew up with a very funny family. There's six kids in my family, and my father is extremely funny. So our way of... we sort of had a little competition every night at dinner, and it was about sort of making my father laugh, whoever could make my father laugh, sort of in an informal competition. And so we were all competing against each other, and I think that's one of the things that helped hone my skill as a comic, and being quick, and being able to respond, and funny, and all of that, being spontaneous.
So you got one of the most well-observed British culture acts going. You know, the content is Woolworths, it's Jessup's. I mean, who even says Jessup's in an act anymore? You know, the more astute of our listener will have noticed that your accent's not British.
No, I'm American, but I've been in the UK since 2000. I haven't been performing in the UK since 2000. I've been sort of on the circuit really since 2010. I was in a cabaret act before that, but in sort of smaller cabaret world. And but it's important to me to talk about what's going on. I feel like I'm an observer, a commentator. I don't really talk about my life. You don't know. You don't leave the stage really learning anything about me. Maybe a little bit, but only it's about the way I tell things, or it's about my perspective on things. It's not about my family or my relationships or any of that. That's not the kind of comic I want to be. I want to be someone who comments on the world around me. And if I'm in Britain, I want to comment about Britain. You know, Americans talking about America are a ten a penny, right? So who needs that? I feel like it's a sort of distinctive to be able to talk intelligently about the UK and have a perspective on it.
I mean, we should say we're sitting downstairs at the Free Fringe. Did you ever figure out what this smell is down here?
I think it's bleach. It's a lot of bleach. They basically hose the place down with bleach every night to kill all the bacteria and toxins that the kids drag in, and hope that no one gets an STD out of it. But the place stinks because it's a basement anyway, and then the bleach on top of that is sort of a toxic smell, isn't it?
I don't know, it's kind of familiar to me. I mean, I was up here for uni, and yeah. I smell this and I think, the toilets in La Tufoir.
Absolutely. You know, we've all smelled it. We've all been in this kind of bleached out, terrifying toilet.
Are you, in your act, I mean, you go fairly close to the bone, but, you know, one of the things that's so charming about it is the fact that you singe, but you don't burn. Is that a deliberate choice, or is that just you not putting enough gas on?
I would say that's deliberate. That's the kind of comedy I like, that singes, that tweaks, that stings, but that doesn't punch. You know, that's less interesting to me. I think you have to have a subtlety to sort of sting and singe. And the punch sometimes is a little more, it can be shock tactics. And, you know, I can be shocking too, but I don't know. It is deliberate, I would say. Yes.
All right. Now, we're actually sitting amongst a horde of admirers here, and I'm gonna pick one at random. and just ask, what is it that you love about this guy?
He is so topical. Clever. Everything I learned about American politics, I learned here last year. Except that I can't now watch or read about American politics without falling about laughing and seeing David.
It's certainly one of the most interesting acts in terms of the balance of left and right opinion. And you know, it's very rare to come out of something like that and to sit down and think, I have literally no idea how this guy votes. I have no idea what his opinions are on the social issues of the day. You know, this guy has bowled. I want to say pitched, because obviously you're American, but you know, you have pitched straight for the middle stump and knocked the bales straight off. And I just for me, it's such a tight bit of maneuvering. You know, it's like watching a great bit of sailing, competitive sailing. The way that you get round those issues and you get round the topics and you're keeping the pace and you're keeping the audience involved. How are you not lying in a heap sobbing right now?
Well, I sometimes feel like it, believe me. Today was a good show, so I'm not. I'm feeling high. But, you know, when it goes bad, I definitely want to feel that way. But, you know, I mean, to me, it's good to... What I get bored of is comics who come out and just enforce your expectations and your preconditions. And you know, a lot of comedy you hear, a lot of American comedy, isn't about laughter. It's about, like... Yeah, like almost like a political rally. They'll say things against George Bush, or they'll say things against the Republicans. They're not funny. It's not a funny turn of phrase. It's not a witty kind of approach to it. They'll just say stuff we already know, and everyone will go, yeah, but it's not funny. And I think it's funnier to unsettle your allies. I mean, obviously, I know what I believe, and a lot of those people come and see me, sort of more left-wing on the spectrum. But I want to unsettle them as well. I want to try and tweak them, you know, and not be complacent around, politically correct ideas or left-wing ideas, because there's a lot of ridiculous stuff going on the left as well.
You know, when I like to sit at the back and manage to avoid you telling me where to sit, although I think you gave me a look. But I see the act, and I think of, like, one of those great LPs that you pick up in an Oxfam, or you'd say a thrift shop, you know, of a live recording of a comedian that, hang on, I was going to say no one's heard of, but that sounds rude.
But
one of those yesteryear comics who just has the material, and it's polished, and it's absolutely... you know, there, and you listen to this LP until it basically falls apart on your system, and you can't go back and you can't buy another one because it's the same old Oxfam, but you know, not even eBay fixes it.
That's such a great compliment. I mean, my influences are Dave Allen, Bob Newhart, an American comic, Paul Lynde, a great American comedy act. All these guys were from the late 50s, early 60s, into the 70s. And, you know, you can see all of it on YouTube. But it's, you know, they all had a style. They all had strong material. And they had a delivery that was, I thought, quite elegant and stylish. And that's what I grew up with, watching on TV. So that's my formative kind of comedy stuff. And frankly, I haven't followed much after that. I mean, a little bit of Richard Pryor, but after Richard Pryor, I haven't watched it. I mean, I've never really... I don't know what Seinfeld's about. I mean, I have an idea, but I've never sat through a Seinfeld stand-up act, and I've never sat through Chris Rock, and I've never sat through Louis C.K., or maybe I've seen 10 minutes of Michael McIntyre. But you know what I mean? Like, I don't follow...
No, that guy wears a suit, though.
Yeah, I like what Michael McIntyre does for 10 minutes. You know, I don't know if I could watch a whole hour, but... You know, I don't know if I could watch a whole hour of most of them. You know, I'm not particularly interested. I could watch a whole hour of Bob Newhart. I could watch a whole hour of Dave Allen. I could watch a whole hour of Paul Lynde. I could watch a whole hour of Don Rickles. I could watch a whole hour of Dean Martin. You know, people like from the old days. That's just what I'm into, I guess.
All right, now we do like to finish these interviews by saying, if there is a show that your audience should see after they've seen your show at least five times, what's the show that they should see?
Another show.
Yeah, man.
There's a great drag act down at Voodoo Rooms called Myra Dubois. And she's fucking hilarious. She's doing a kind of a Lily Savage. If you remember, Lily Savage was Paul O'Grady's drag act. She's the new version. And it's sharp. It's smart. It's not your traditional drag. It's not... I mean, it looks traditional, but it's very, very up-to-date. And it's much smarter than something you would see at some terrible gay bar. It's really good. So that's one I like. She's playing with the convention of drag. And that I would recommend highly.
All right. Well, as he's carried away body surfing on his groupies, I can only wave into the far distance to say, David Mills, thank you very much for talking to Fringe Review.
Thank you so much. Much appreciated.